Couple notes here. We're going to get to the Tigers at 5 o'clock. We talked Lions, Odyssey.com Rewind. Even opened up with how much I loathe Friday Night Football. And a little bit on Michigan State. We're going to talk Michigan. But I want to give David a chance with the ticket text. And then I want to do a psychology check with Michigan fans. Because I don't know that I can figure out where they're at. It's a very bizarre time we live in. Michigan fans, the one thing you can count on is they're going to be verbose. But they're nowhere. And I wonder if it's just apathy. Are they resigned to knowing they're not very good, even though they escaped last week with the help of the officials? Like, do you feel like you're going out to get your head taken off tomorrow night in Seattle? Or are you just not paying attention? I don't know. It's a bizarre place to be where you go from the last 3 years, cheating or not, the last 3 years, to you're a service academy. Like, Donovan Edwards isn't any good. You don't have a quarterback. Your O-line is not great. And the defense is good, not great. And they're horrible to watch. So I wanted to ask.
Could it be D, hangover effect, where you won the title and you're still a little hungover from everything that's gone on for the past few years? And, yeah, we're not winning. Yeah, that's okay. Let's go ahead and watch that championship game.
But it's very weird because I don't remember Michigan being an underdog much of any of the last 3 years. And, yes, against OSU, but those were spots to me that I liked them in that spot. I bet them. But this is when you're going, wait, Michigan underdog to an unranked team? So this is the folly of the AP poll. How could Michigan possibly be number 10 and possibly be underdog to an unranked, fairly average UW team? That's, to me, that's telling. And when it looks too easy, it often, well, it's a trap.
Don't get me started on the AP poll, because it is the biggest joke, because it's basically, it's a bunch of people who watch one game, the game that they're at, and then just kind of fill out the rest of their polls. So, yeah, it is a joke.
But I'd love to hear from U of M fans on this. Like, where are you at with your football team, right? We did the quarter poll segment with the Lions. Look, Michigan's winning games. And the one loss you have, okay, you lost to the number two or number one team in America. I liked you against USC. You won. Unlikely way to do it, but you did it. And last week, yeah, you got a break from the refs. I'm sure Johnny Porkfats has a book called Getting the Break. The story of Michigan football. They've had the refs in their pocket for 100 years.
Or 24 hours later, brand new rule change.
Sure. The field was crowned.
If I think a lot of Michigan fans, I'm like, because I was hanging out with a few last night.
You associate with those scumbags?
I do, man.
Look at you.
Hey, man.
It's personal growth.
Hey, childhood friends. A little bit of how in the world did we make it this far with no quarterback was the discussion. Like, I can't believe this is the options that we have at quarterback coming off of all the playoffs, a national title, and we look over and it's either these two guys, a seventh-year player who can't stay healthy, or a freshman at about $150 in combat boots,
but
dripping
even
wet.
Even more glaring, I mean, Donovan Edwards' fall from grace. Even more glaring, where are the functional wide receivers? That's Michigan, man.
Right, but you knew you were not going to get wide receivers, because when was the last time they really threw to wide receivers?
Right, but like Roman Wilson got drafted. Like, they had players, right? Like, even Cornelius Johnson had made some plays in his life there.
Right, but they didn't get the Xavier Worthies. They didn't get the, I mean, think about it. They had Nico Collins. He's probably had more catches in one game than he had it his entire time at Michigan.
Man, you win that one. They had him. They had Tariq Black. They had a couple of really good receivers.
DPJ all on the same team.
Didn't use them. But I'd love to hear from the people on it. I don't know. It's a weird vibe. And look, I'm not used to seeing Michigan be an underdog. Certainly not an unranked team that you're about to go face. Do you feel like, you know, you've stolen the last two games? You feel like the bottom's falling out here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm asking.
No, I do.
Notice who's gotten quiet. Old Jesus in there. Mm. What's your problem?
My problem is after every win, USC and then Minnesota, I feel just relief. We got away with a win. How did we win this game? That's every feeling the last few weeks. And if you don't get a Will Johnson interception against USC, you probably still lose that game. You needed that defensive score because you weren't scoring offensively. Rico, you talked about in the prop bets, their second half is atrocious, and you need something defensively to get you going. They started off strong against Minnesota and just fell flat on their face in the second half, and I'm like, here we go again. A different way from USC, but here we go again.
David, you know what's funny? It's like USC and Minnesota each thought that, okay, Orgy's not really that bad, so they're going to come out here and throw the ball around. And by halftime, it's like, what are we doing? How about we just go after and stop the run game? And that's when both teams tried to make their, you know, come back in the second half, but it was too little too late for both of those squads. Had they played that same game plan just to start the second quarter, I think you're looking at a different result.
I think the thing that stands out to me is, like, I thought Michigan was a 9-3 team at the start of the year. I moved to just 8-4 based on the quarterback play, but no lower. And it feels like that's still where they're at. And I just wonder if it's kind of, then what's the point of any of this? Look, I went through it as a State fan back in, 2015 or 14 or 13. Like, when you have 3 years in a row like that where State finished in the top 10, made the playoff, won the Big Ten multiply, the whole thing, the minute you don't attain that, there's a level of apathy to everything else. Meaning, yeah, not just the clown show of 16 for us, but even like 17, where we weren't going to beat any of the best teams on our schedule. Like, when you are a Michigan fan, I wonder if you're just like, well, we got no shot against Oregon and Ohio State, so what the hell's the point? Like, a 9-3 Michigan team that gets orbital rammed by the three best teams they play, they're probably not getting in the playoff. They're just not.
So,
and that's before you talk about potentially losing to UW Saturday.
So it's like a 9-3 Alabama team. Yeah, this is a loss for us. We're going to go ahead and look for basketball.
No, that's the 9-3 team that MSU ends up playing in the Citrus Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then they're all angry and they murder people.
No. You know what happened in that game, right?
Death? No. Destruction?
No. State players did the dumbest thing ever. Alabama players didn't care about the game. State players, pregame, go over, taunt them.
Oh, dear.
We're going to beat you. Big Ten's better than the SEC.
Okay. The only
players looked and said, do you believe what these SOBs are saying about us? And they rallied and curb-stomped State.
Do you remember when Vanderbilt did that? A couple years ago, Vanderbilt wins a nondescript game, and they got one of their, I think it was an offensive lineman, goes out there after the game, and he goes, yeah, we play SEC ball. Like, you'll find out when you come here. Bama's next. They're on the clock. I swear to God, Bama rolled in the next week, won 70-0.
Right.
Like, they had asked Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is like, yeah, I mean, technically, we're next on their schedule. They go, bam, like 70-0. Brother, don't poke the bear.
That's what happened. State players, pregame warmups as they're stretching. Because the Bama players were like, look, we got our swag bag. We're going to the league. You can have this game. Oh, wait, they're talking trash. All right, fellas, one last time. Let's do this.
Let's get to the people. I just want to know where Michigan fans are at with their team, because it is a good game this weekend. You know, it is one of the better matchups. And we haven't had a chance to really dive in. And I kind of wonder where you're at with your team, because, look, they're scrapping it out. They're winning games. But it does feel like you're going to give one back. Like, you kind of stole the last two. And you know, with Oregon and OSU on tap, you're going to be a double-figure underdog in both those games.
Yeah.
Ohio State, you may be a 3-touchdown underdog. I think the future line was out to like 19 at one point.
Yeah, I think do they play Indiana?
That's the game I worry about.
Don't get me excited. That's my boy Cignetti. Don't.
You talk about give one away now? Before the season, Michigan fans, including myself, said, oh, Indiana.
Yeah.
Now it's, Indiana.
Is Cignetti a real Italian?
He's just a real...
I mean, Costa's not.
He's a real bleephead is what he is. And he loves gamblers because that cat, pedal down. All he cares about is covering.
Bet the over.
2-4. He's a maniac. He's running hurry up with 38 seconds to go, up 21.
There is kneel down. What?
Not to hell with that.
We got 15 seconds left.
We'll get to the
run people. The hook and ladder.
He's nailing it, people. He ain't wrong. 97-1. All right, we'll get to the Tigers at 5 o'clock. Who said it later in the hour? We're asking a question for Michigan fans. We just haven't been able to touch the table on football this week with the Tigers. Where are you at with your team? It's a weird vibe, is that there doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement. I understand they had the loss against Texas, but I wasn't writing them off after that. They've stolen the last two games. There's a toughness about that. But they are essentially a service academy now. And you're underdogs at an unranked team this weekend. And I don't know if you're apathetic, you're scared. Is it a hangover from last year? Where are you as fans? And people want to talk, so let's do it. Let's go to Tom, 97.1. Tommy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good, Thomas.
Hey, I'm a diehard Michigan fan, and I'm as bewildered as most. I just can't believe they've made it as far as they have. I mean, I knew that they're going to lose against Texas, but against USC, I mean, Lincoln Riley should know. My grandmother knew that they were going to run Mullins, and why? I just don't understand why these teams can't stop that. I mean, that's all they can do, run. And if I was a defensive coordinator going up against Michigan, I would just load the box and say, "Hey, you're going to. I don't care if I put one defense on two receivers. They haven't thrown to them all
I can
all
tell
year.
You is this. I am always confused by why teams approach you in the first half the way they do. And then in the second half, they're like, oh, wait, we're actually allowed to play. I was puzzled too, but I can tell you this. Like the week you play MSU, I'll make Orgy throw five touchdowns. I'll make him throw for 250 yards. I am going to treat it like Adrian Peterson with the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm going to have nine guys in the box. Mm-hmm. And if you can beat that, go for it. I will look. Washington's pretty good at taking away the run, and I would imagine there's enough tape out there to go, look, if they're going to beat us and it's going to be with Alex Orgy, you tip your cap. If he comes out and proves he can be a high-level Division I passer,
mm-hmm,
and beat press man, make accurate throws down the field. He's had 16 throws north of 5 yards. He's completed like six of them. Go ahead. Now, I'm with him there. Is like, look, we're out of September now. There's enough data and enough tape. Teams are going to force you to throw the ball because this offensive line is good.
Right.
It is nowhere near last year. And last year, admittedly, guys, was nowhere near the 22 edition, which was, to me, the best offensive line in the history of the school in my adult life.
No, you're right. In that first half, it's almost like every team is just waiting for this big play. Oh, they got this trick play, flea flicker, and they're playing passive. And then in the second half, they just shut it down. And it's three and out, three and out, three and out. I don't get it as well because, yeah, I would just simply say, don't let a receiver beat you deep, a 7 to 8 yard cushion, and let's just go for it.
Look, here's my one thing. I want to admit I was wrong about something, is that I made fun of David endlessly for his negativity about U of M. I thought it was absurd to pick them to win less than 8 games. David was below that. I will say this, David, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night, but generally speaking, when unranked is favored over ranked, look out. If they lose tomorrow, your prediction is in play because the Indiana game is not a freebie.
Correct.
And I don't care. People can laugh at me all they like. Our game's not a freebie.
And I said that from the start.
MSU doesn't let you run the football.
I was about to say, that's just it. Secondary suspect. Ohio State really wasn't running, but they could pass every place. You can't pass the ball.
I'm just making a point. I made fun of you. I owe you an apology. If they lose tomorrow, your prediction will be in play. I'll still think they'll probably get to 8, but it might be 7.
And I think they'll get to 8. I do. It's just they look like a 6-6 team. Everything screams 6-6.
Go to Jason and Troy, 97.1. Jay, good to have you back. What's going on?
Hey guys, I just want to say, I'm a Michigan fan. I think I'm pretty optimistic, except for, you know, and you say they stole two games. It's like, that's college football. I mean, you go back to the year Michigan State went all the way. I mean, you could say they almost stole every game that season, but.
Right, but that doesn't change defense, that you stole them. I mean, Jay, it's not an insult. They stole them.
This defense has played well. I think the offensive line has played well. I think the run game has been a surprise. I think special teams have been solid. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about this team. If they could only have it, you know, nobody's asking Orgy to go out there and perform like Tom Brady, but just be a game manager, throw a couple passes. But even last season, they started the season off slow as far as like the passing game. If they could just, you know, make him serviceable, They got enough on defense, and I think overall the run game as well with Mullins. He's a surprise this year. You know, I didn't expect him to run the way he's been running. You know, I thought it would be Donovan Edwards, but obviously, you know, that hasn't panned out. But as far as what this team has shown under the circumstances and what they have at quarterback, there's a lot to be optimistic about, I think.
Right, but if you don't have a quarterback, what's the point?
I think because you expect them maybe to play better as the season goes. You know, same thing with J.J. McCarthy. I think he became a better passer as the season progressed. You're just a little bit hopeful as a fan that he could at least throw a ball or get to a point where he's completing 10 passes a game.
Right,
but
Jason, you do understand. Listen, and I mean this respectfully. I may not like your program, but I respect them. Jay, this is Michigan. You just said with a straight face, and Jay, you're a longtime caller of the show. Jay, you said if we can just get to a point where he completes 10 passes. This is not UTEP, Jay. This is Michigan. How
Michigan,
can you be in that spot?
Because they are Michigan. That's why, you know, they've been able to beat USC. They beat Minnesota, I think, convincingly, besides, you know, a couple calls. They either way. I mean, Michigan's playing well. I think they're playing okay, minus the quarterback position. Even if you looked at it, but they've won games where they've been run heavy. They've had success without passing the ball in the last two seasons.
Right. So, but here's the difference, Jay. The last two seasons, your ground game was dominating. It's not dominating this year. And please spare me 300 yards against Arkansas State and Butch Jones. It's not dominating. No one fears it. And now you can't pass it. See, I think it was a choice before. You chose to not let JJ throw it. But make no mistake, when he did, even if I think it's ridiculous JJ went number 11 overall in the draft, he was still going to be a top 50 or top 60 pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? Now we've gotten to a place of, dear God, can Navy's quarterback complete 9 passes? I'm sorry, that doesn't leave me personally with the tinglies.
Right. I mean, guys, the fact of we talked about it on the 5-star zone. 16 times he's thrown the ball 5 yards. He completed 6. That's less than 50%.
He can get better, but he's got to get better in a hurry.
Brother, 5 yards is a balloon toss at a church picnic, okay? It's not that far.
I gave him a couple weeks where I'm like, look, he'll get incrementally better. He's got to get better fast, including tomorrow night. Like, does anyone in this room see a scenario? Not that it's mortal law. And, oh, what if there's 3 pick sixes? Just work with me. If Orji doesn't throw for 150 yards passing, does anyone think they're walking out of Seattle with a win?
No. No.
No?
Okay.
Here's what you may see. They may go back to Davis Warren.
No way. Impossible. He turns it over more than Aiden Childs.
But if you have to pass the ball.
Oh, my God. They're going to do the Spurrier? So, like, Chris Leak throws it, and then Tebow comes in and runs it?
Amen.
Oh, God, okay.
On the...
But this is my point.
Purple Rain's being played, man.
No. Listen, this is a solid UW team. I don't think they're great. But they have things that I think they match up okay with you. First of all, they have been good against the run, and you're not what you think you are. Second of all, it may not be Michael Penix. But they got a quarterback. Will Rogers is like 24 years old, the Mississippi State transfer. He's got 11 touchdowns, no picks. He's got 1,200 yards passing. He's good, guys. I didn't say great. I said good. If you stay away from Will Johnson, do you know what I've been seeing watching your games? People open everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have the wide receivers to make the catches, but there's been a lot. Even against the bad teams, the Arkansas State, the guys were open.
Look, and here's the other problem. And I admit it. Maybe I'm getting spooked by it. You're the number 10 team in America, and you're an underdog at unranked Washington. I'm sorry. Like, I've lived long enough. I know what that usually means. So it's fine if you're telling me they're in a rebuild. But I just wanted to know where you're at within the rebuild. All I'll say is this. Lord Sparty. I had you at 9-3, but I didn't have it looking like this. This is so much worse than I imagined. And to be at this point at the quarterback spot, that in an entire room of quarterbacks, this is the best I can do? This? We're called, like, Jason and Troy has called this show for 15 years, Rico. For Jason to call up and to go, well, guys, listen, if we could just get to a point where he's completing 10 passes, we're going to be okay. That's what they say, like Colorado Springs radio for Air Force. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He's got every right to get better. He's only made a couple of starts. I'm saying he's got to get better, or David's prediction is going to be true.
See, and I'm wondering, would they even trust him to throw the ball? Because I'm thinking more and more, yeah, we're just going to run it, and maybe we'll play action you.
That was my game plan against USC. TJ made fun of me. They did it. They executed it. They stole the damn game. You can't depend on a 64-yard touchdown when everyone knows you can't throw the ball. Mullins broke 17 tackles. You got the game. I don't care. You won. Last week, you saw them want to throw it. They know they have to do a little more.
Right.
But it's got to be more here.
But what you're saying is Michigan is turned into, and David, correct me if I'm wrong, they're a big play team. Meaning if they don't get the big play and you make them drive the ball down the field, it's not going to happen. Think of all their touchdowns that they've gotten lately. It's a big run. It's a pick six. It's a punt return that goes back. It's a fumble. It's something that happens, a big play, and then you put them in the red zone, it's automatic. They're going to score. But if you make them drive the length of the field, I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, let's check in on the ticket text. We're going to get back to the people. We are just going to punt on who said it this week. Tons of people want to wrap U of M football, down to do it. We'll get to the Tigers in the 5 o'clock. We'll get to the picks as well. But look, it's an interesting check-in with Michigan fans. Haven't had the ability to do it all week. Frankly, in 2 weeks, the Tigers have taken all the oxygen in the room. The Lions had a Monday night football game. And all the while, Michigan has had two dramatic wins. One, the comeback. One, a survival. You can thank the refs for that. Otherwise, Minnesota's got the ball on your 39 with 45 seconds to go. But I digress. Look, where are you at with your team? You know, I've tried to be decently positive about them, but I do think they are severely limited. And I wonder if knowing they're limited after winning it all last year, are you bored? Is there apathy, like a hangover, if you will? Or are you angry? Because honestly, like, not to be rude, they're not a good watch. Like, I have more fun watching Army. That's factual, because Army's explosive. And you're essentially a service academy.
Well, Michigan is explosive. It's just, you know, that's Army's and Navy and all of that's their brand. That's their identity. So when you sit down, you expect that type of football. When you sit and you watch Michigan, you don't expect that. You expect to see top players out there playing at the top of their game.
I don't see competency at multiple levels. And I'm like, all right, I understand the high-end talent. Where's the rest? And maybe it's just a rebuild year. And if you're apathetic towards that, no one's mad, because I would be too. That's how I'm wired. I lived it with my team back when I had a team. Dave, what do the texters have to say?
I'm a Michigan grad and fan, and this year has definitely been disappointing. I think the most frustrating part is our receiver play. I'm not so sure we can put it all on Orgy, as I question if our receivers have the ability to run routes and get open. That is Kevin and Holly. Hangover from the Natty. My diehard friends agree. We got what we wanted last year, and just this year was whatever it was going to be. Joe in a car.
Totally reasonable take.
And I think that's where a lot of people we won it. I'll throw away this year for all the joy of the past few years.
Might be throwing away a few more.
Mm-mm.
It's not a secret why Michigan is winning games. They are winning games because they're tougher than these teams. Simple as that. They're not better. They're just tougher. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you won the USC game because your pass rush, including Stewart, had a huge afternoon, and USC had tackle problems. I don't know if that's toughness. That's a matchup.
The Minnesota game, I think we all saw the onside kick. That had nothing to do with toughness.
When the Big Ten changes a rule 10 minutes after the game and admits they screwed up, like, is that toughness? I don't know. Guys, I'm fine saying you've been one of the tougher teams in the sport. I don't know if toughness is why you're winning this year. Go ahead.
I'm a Michigan fan, and we're just average this year. 8-win team, probably no biggie. Let's see how we look next year.
So let me ask a question. At what point would anger kick in? Is it 7-5? Is it? It certainly it'd be at 6-6. 6-6 would mean you lose to UW, one of State or Indiana,
and the Fighting Burts.
Oh, I forgot Illinois is on the schedule.
They got to go to Illinois, yeah, and they got to go to Indiana.
Yeah, if they went 6-6, David, I think the apathy would turn into pure rage.
I think so. I think you're right about that.
If they went 6-6, that means that you probably only win one of the next four games at Washington, at Illinois, Michigan State at home, Oregon, at Indiana.
Yeah, I got a hard time seeing that. I'm just trying to ask, like, where would your inflection point be? Like, for me. Like, if State doesn't get to 6-6, I'm livid. And I don't care if it's year zero. It's year zero for Kurt Cignetti. They're 5-0. I don't want to hear it. You don't get time anymore. Fix it. I know State's going
to
get drilled tonight.
I was about to say, yeah, look at that Indiana schedule.
But guess what? If we don't beat one of Iowa or Michigan, unacceptable. And if we don't go out and beat one of...
You got to beat somebody you didn't expect. Yes, I get that.
Do but your job.
That Indiana schedule, though.
I know. Fair. Let me apologize. Fair. But at least they're killing
it. No. What they're doing is showing a bad team, you're a bad team. And they're not letting you in the game. There will be no hope. There is no Hail Mary. You don't have a 27-point play in your playbook.
As a Michigan fan, I am very disappointed that we aren't able to reload after winning a national title. How do we have a running back playing quarterback?
We've already covered it. Just keep rolling.
The team isn't great, but let's not pretend like Minnesota didn't come back because Johnson didn't play and Minnesota started hitting passes.
Okay, wait a second. So hold on. The success or failure of your team is a corner. One player. Guys, injuries happen. You don't believe me? State's on their third left tackle and fourth right guard of the season. Go cry somewhere else.
Michigan fan here, we know we are terrible. I literally can't stand watching them. The head coach is so bad, he shouldn't be coaching Wayne State.
Oh, well, wait a second. Now. Hold on now. You know, they can't be turning on Sharon this early. Come on. Okay, then. I'll just go to Scott, 97.1. Scotty, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike, Rico, how are you?
Good, hey, Scott. What's going on?
Hey, this Michigan thing, they're having a running back playing quarterback. We knew that was going to be a disaster. I was at the Minnesota game last week, and they would have lost if the onside kick would have been legal for sure. They were just getting housed the second half. But the one thing, I think they're going to win tomorrow, and the reason I'm saying that is the one thing we have not seen from them is having Orji run the football. He's been kind of trying to always make the throw instead of just taking off and run. And I think they're going to do more of that, which will open up their running game more. I look for them to run the ball 50 times tomorrow. I really do. I think that's what they're going to do.
I agree on the quarterback run part because a couple weeks ago when TJ made fun of me, I said, look, you got to do what UCF does with KJ Jefferson. You got to get Orji 8 to 10 quarterback design runs. Then you got to mix in another 4 to 6 RPOs for him, right? And you're right. They haven't done it. It's going to be very interesting if they can go on the road and execute a Penn State game plan at UW. I got to see it.
And I also think our defense, we're getting Johnson back and having Josiah Stewart back is going to really focus that defense better. I think they'll play really well against Washington tomorrow where they didn't play exceptionally well last week in the second half. So I think they'll probably win the game tomorrow. But I'm worried about that State game. I'm going to be honest with you, Mike, because I think Aiden Childs is an outstanding player. He's going to be a great talent, going to do great things there. He just needs to have his clock quicken up a little bit and not turn the ball over. They're going to be a real tough matchup for Michigan.
Our problem is the following. We are running out of bodies on the offensive line. I mean, Scott, I don't want to nerd out, but let me ask you this. Do you think it is an optimal idea to start a true freshman? Not a redshirt, a true freshman at left tackle who weighs in at 6'3", 275. Then I'll tell you he was not a 5 or a 4 star or an NIL million dollar baby. He's some guy I had to look up named Rakeem Johnson from Boise, Idaho. Mm-hmm. And he was our starting tackle against Ohio State because our real starter has been moved to right guard because he sucks as a tackle. And then the guy who replaced him, Stanton Ramil, was hurt. We may not have enough bodies by the time we play it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And we did it. No, no. We actually did it. Hey, Five Star Zone. You should listen to it. We did a dive on that. Mike, you would be happy to know. He only got blown up on one play
where he got thrown to the ground.
As a true freshman, and your very first game is the number two team in the country, and you only got blown up once?
Point remains, we're running out of bodies.
Yes, but you may have stumbled upon something.
Maybe. I'll believe it when I see it. I need to see Aiden Childs play, I don't know, 10 minutes without a turnover.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh,